Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For multiple bonus shows per week and access to our full podcast archive featuring in-depth interviews, movie commentaries, and live shows, please check out the Steel Wars Patreon podcast feed. The Content Club level is just $3 a month and is chock full of Star Wars fun and really helps the ongoing production of the show. All the bonus shows download into your podcast app like any other show. Give a month a try at patreon.com/Steel Wars. Link is in this episode's show notes. And if you do, hit us up for a question for the weekly Patreon Q&A. And now on with the show. I really hope you enjoy it. Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I'm Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. And please forgive the in-car recording, but we are on the 101 freeway in LA and we are driving south to Anaheim to visit beautiful Batu. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, we are heading there. It is Friday before it opens, and we're going to go test out the ride. We are testers, apparently. A friend of a friend, you guys. It all, you know, when you're living in Hollywood, you have lots of show business connections. So, but yeah, we're going to test out Galaxy's Edge today. And I am thrilled to be on the way. So the fact that I'm doing 15 miles per hour on the freeway right now in Friday morning traffic is killing me, because we are meeting up with the guys from Comedy Film Nerds at 10 a.m. and then we are going inside, and details are very scant. I'm not sure if we're only meant to be in there for 4 hours, like some people that have tested the park out have gotten to do, or we can be in there all day. But if they're going to let us in there all day, good luck getting me out. So I mightn't be back to record the rest of this podcast for a day or two. Jackie, when I was leaving, she's like, if you end up staying till 11 p.m., get a hotel, don't drive home. So she sort of knows what to expect out of this. But yeah, thrilled to be going to check this out. Because I've got a 7.5-month-year-old son, and this was the first... Today is the first day we've left him with a non-blood related babysitter. So our friend Sarah and Blondie, who you've heard Blondie on the podcast before, she came to the Jimmy Kimmel episode for when he called us out for the Your Snoke Theory Sucks t-shirt, which is a bizarre thing. If you haven't checked that out on YouTube, There's a clip with Jimmy Kimmel calling me out live on air on the Jimmy Kimmel Show during the Last Jedi promotional trail when I was in the audience. It sounds surreal. It is. So yeah, Blondie and Sarah are going to do two shifts, a shift each, looking after Harrison while Jackie's at work, and I'm in a galaxy far, far away. I was ready to take the dude with me. I was like, I'll just bring him. I'll bring a young'un, and he'll get to experience Batu. I probably wouldn't be able to go on the ride, but I just want to check it out. You know, I don't know how busy it's going to be, and because I spoke to someone that went this week, and they were like, there was a time when we couldn't see any other people. I don't think it's going to be like that today, but is there a chance that we'll get to recreate the Falcon, that artist impression of the son and the kid walking towards the Falcon? I want to reproduce that photo. So, but if I can just get 20 people in there, and then I'll be able to reproduce this very unlikely artist impression for once it opens, I imagine it's just going to be, I don't even have to imagine, it's a fact, it's going to be packed. So I've got no idea if today will be packed with lots of people testing it out, or we'll have a pretty easy time. Another person I spoke to get on the Falcon ride, they said it took them like 20 minutes, that's it. And that time they were just looking at everything in the line anyway, like all the, you know, little things they have to entertain you while you're in line. So yeah, it's just thrilling. And just for everyone on traffic watch, the traffic has died off now, and I'm doing the speed limit. I am on the speed limit perfectly. It is a limit I would never broach. So we are doing the speed limit, whatever that is, exactly, maybe a little bit under the speed to play it safe. But we are on our way to Anaheim and Batu. Should be quite a day. Cannot wait. See ya when I park.
All right, guys, it's 9:43 and we are here. I'm driving behind Batu. I can see rocks. Oh, it's actually happening. All right, we'll pull it into the car park. Very excited. Obviously.
All right, you guys, it's just before 10. I just parked and now I'm walking very fast to get on the little train thing to Disneyland from the car park. You get on the little people mover, and I'm just thrilled to be going to Disneyland for one thing. I've been a few times, but not enough to where I don't get the, like, it's not the best thing ever. I hadn't even thought about, like, I'm actually going to Disneyland. I was thinking about Star Wars, but, very excited. All right. Hype. All right, I've just been told walking there at the moment will be as quick than getting the people mover. So I'm going walking because I'm too amped up to wait in a line right now. And I think I can walk fast because I'm full of hype and coffee. Right, you guys, walking update. I am walking at an incredible pace. I think people are like pointing and go, look how fast this dude's walking. Just let it be known that I'm walking very fast right now. It's bridging on a run, but yet elegant, like a walk, but very fast. All right, this couple in front of me, I think they're walking pretty fast, but I'll catch them. You just wait. Just you wait. Quick update, guys. I have passed them. I did pass the fast walking couple. I outwalked them. Eat it. I can also report the fast walking couple, the male, regrets wearing pants today. Repeat, he regrets wearing pants. I've got pants on as well. but we're going to Galaxy's Edge, so there's no time for regret. All right, guys, it's 10:20 and we are out the front of Disneyland, and for some reason, just through the will of the Force.
Again, last time was solo.
I'm here with Jason Ward. How are you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Having a good time.
So we're going to Galaxy's Edge separately.
Yeah, kinda.
No, we are.
No, not really. I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna hunt you. You're gonna be my greatest game, man.
It's just so weird. We got tickets on the same day.
Yeah, early tickets because we're spoiled brats.
Yes.
Arrested Man development. Extended childhood. I don't know.
Extended the EU. The EC. That's what we're doing. Yeah, I'm pretty amped.
Okay, so we're going with expanded childhood then, since we're doing the EC, EU. Yeah, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
No, this is the new. This is my Kathleen childhood now. This is all Kathleen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so excited that I went to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning last night because I couldn't go to sleep. And then I woke up at like 6 when I didn't need to because I needed to wake up.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
I've got a newborn son, or 7 months old, so I went to sleep as soon as I put my head down, and I woke up as soon as he started crying.
Yeah, you should just give him, you know, beer.
Well, that's what I gave him in the car now.
Oh, okay.
I made up this story on the way down that we got babysitters, but...
Yeah, but Luke and Penny, my kids, 5 and 4, are babysitting in the car. They're cool, though. We got them, like, 3 big gulps for 79 cents each. Good price.
You just leave them some matches, and they just entertain themselves the entire day.
Yeah. It's. I promised them a puzzle or something from the gift shop.
All right, so I feel... I haven't really, like, I'm so excited to be here,
mm-hmm.
but because I was so worried about being so crowded and I wasn't going to go for a little bit, like, I haven't enveloped myself in hype, so I feel like I'm going to get shattered upon entering.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're just going to hear this high Australian shrill a lot, mm. and people are going to be like, the sound effects in Galaxy's Edge were strange.
Is that Klee Glaz?
Did John Williams score that weird screech?
Well, I remember going to... Oh, this memory just flooded back. I went to Disney Hollywood, whatever it was called, in Florida many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I went one day with a family to Disney World, and then I went to the movie one by myself the next day.
Did you just, like, get in line with them and just kind of... They just paid for you, thought you were one of their kids?
They were friends of the family I was staying with. They drove me.
Okay.
But nice try. And... I remember coming around, I'm by myself, I've got this on video somewhere back home, but just coming around the corner and just seeing the AT-AT.
Oh, right.
And just like, this is the greatest thing. Okay, and it was shooting water? Water?
I've never even seen that AT-AT.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm kind of anti-Florida.
I embrace all our Floridian listeners, so welcome. Just, you know.
You're all on Flocka. I know what you're doing.
So, yeah, I'm not sure if I'll get shattered by this, but... I'm willing to try, you know?
Well, I was thinking about the coolest thing that happened was Star Tours 2 when I got to come early on that and write it over and over again because I had a little scam where I would hit reply to the email and change the text of my entry time. And I just did it for like 2 weeks. I just wrote Star Tours 2 with like whatever abandoned. But now I think it's like that whole thing is going to be like, who cares about Star Tours, man? Star Tours is going to be like a footnote. At least I have high expectations anyway.
Yeah, I wonder what Star Tours will be like. Let's go ride it all day.
Let's
make a statement.
After Galaxy's Edge, let's do it. Let's be like, hey girl, we love you. We didn't forget you. I've been with you since 1987, and I'm never leaving you.
But, like, you've watched it all grow.
Yeah.
You know, you've looked at the car park and seen the first bit. I remember when we saw first bits of dirt. And so, you know, you drive... past you all the time. You come in here all the time, willy-nilly.
Right.
How are you feeling? This is it. Today's the day.
Yeah, I parked up on the very top of the Mickey and Friends parking structure, so I got like that really good view of it, which is strangely isn't actually done from behind still.
Still on the spoilers.
No, but it was rad because it was so much more built up than it was before. And then I was like, oh wow, like I was excited just to look at that, but I'm like, today's the day I actually get to go inside of it. you know? It's not just a date anymore. I gotta watch that process in your eyes.
We're gonna be in Star Wars.
Gonna be inside. Do you know if we could I have worn that First Order jacket? No, I mean Resistance jacket. I didn't because I was afraid they were gonna say no. But could I have? I never heard got an answer to that.
Well, I think it's more clothing.
That's what I mean, like that jacket, because I could get confused as a cast member and tell people, give me your credit card and I'll tell you where to get back to Disneyland.
I'll tell you how the film ends.
That too, no.
I don't know. I think the jacket's fine. I think you can get by with a jacket.
Yeah, I didn't do it though. Just had to be safe.
You've got some sort of like 90s indie like musician cosplay going on.
That's pretty much what I am.
Okay.
this isn't a uniform still. It's life.
It's a lifestyle. All right. Well, we may not ever be the same.
Bye. I'll see you inside. I'm gonna find you, girl. I'm gonna find you.
All righty.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. All right, you guys. It's 12:30, and I'm here with Chris and Neil from Comedy Film Nerds podcast, and we've just been doing warm. We're not allowed into the land yet.
I know.
So we've just been doing warm-ups.
It is. It's amazing how much Star Wars stuff is not in the Star Wars land that we can enjoy as a warm-up.
That sounded like a corporate brochure. there is so much other stuff in the Star Wars land for us to enjoy.
We do Hyperspace Mountain, which was amazing.
Yeah, we went on a little, almost a tour of Star Wars Disney attractions past. We went on Hyperspace Mountain, which is reskinned, I guess. I think they like made that Star Wars-y for now just to satisfy people that can't get into Star Wars land.
And there will be a fair amount of those people.
Oh, yes. And then we went Star Tours, and it was a 20th anniversary Phantom Menace trip as we pod raced and then went into the Naboo
the ocean.
Star Cruisers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Naboo Star Cruiser bit is sick. big fan. And you haven't been here for 15 years, Neil?
Yeah, it's been 15 years. So this is almost like a whole new experience. Not just the Star Wars, but Disney in general.
Right.
It's a lot of changes.
And so now we're going on the Matterhorn.
Yep. Matterhorn, I went on this a couple months ago. It's actually really fun. They redid it, all new animatronics and ride system. So, I don't know about the ride system. I made that up. But it is faster.
Did they install lightsabers?
They're not.
No buys! I don't care. I don't care. We're in a really weird place now emotionally because we're in Disneyland, which is the happiest place on earth. But I'm just thinking that I just want to be a kilometer over there in the Star Wars land.
All we're doing now is enjoying ourselves while we bide our time for what we really want.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
So the deal is we've got this website that we have to go to and we just keep refreshing it. And then once it's our time, it'll tell us. But at the moment, it's not admitting guests. Right. So I'm big on the refresh. Yes! We're podcasting!
Yo! What's up, man?
It's the Rogue Rebels. Hi, Sal.
What's going on, man? How are you doing?
No, that's how I saw it. I was like, oh, that's a cool t-shirt.
How are you?
Lizzie.
Hi.
Sal.
Neil. Chris, nice to meet you.
You just podcasting in a line?
Yeah.
That's what he does. I listen.
Wait, really?
No.
Have you got passes?
Yeah. Not passes. Like, we just have today passes.
Oh,
yeah.
You're not going to Star Wars line?
Are you going to Star Wars line?
So I shouldn't have brought it up.
All right.
What are you guys doing?
Just walking around trying to get on this ride.
I don't know when we're allowed in, but we're just checking this website. So I just thought you must have been here because of that.
I would like to be. I need to figure that out.
I would, yeah.
Hey, but you're at Disneyland. It's the happiest place on earth, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, dude.
What were those fans that
I am my friends, yeah.
Oh, cool. They were wearing your shirt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I just did the worst thing because they're like massive Star Wars. That's how I know them because they're like massive Star Wars fans. The Pirellis family. They're sort of like They're Star Wars' first family.
Yeah.
But I did the brutal thing. I'm like, so you've got passes to get into the land? And Sal's just like,
what are you talking about?
And I was just like,
you mean the land that doesn't open for a week? Or is that the one you're talking about? Yeah.
Sorry, Sal.
Just a quick footnote, unbeknownst to me and my guilt, Sal and the Pirellis family were involved in some Disney special article about fans seeing Galaxy's Edge for the first time. So I built up all that guilt for nothing. Thanks, Sal. I hope you're having a really good time laughing while listening to this. See you soon, buddy. And I'm really happy you guys got to go.
Alrighty, well, Lizzie Pirellis was angry I wasn't podcasting on the ride, so I'm going to podcast on the ride. Hey, Lizzie! I'm podcasting! Yeah. It's going to give us a shout out to Star Wars Geek Girl. Alright, we're riding now. The Matterhorn going up. On this ride, apparently getting attacked by a snowman. It's very dangerous out here. Whoa! This snowman does seem relentless. He is all over this mountain. Whoa! Jesus! I thought I was gonna lose my head. We evaded the snowman, everyone.
Remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Permanecerse sentados, por favor.
And thus concludes the roller coaster podcast.
You didn't have those cracks in your phone before the ride.
All right, guys, it's 3:10, and we've just been riding rides, Disneying it up, waiting for our time in the virtual queue to expire. We are group 13, and I'm going to refresh the page, Chris.
Let's do it.
It says groups 3 to 12, and now it says groups 3 to 12. We're so close.
Our timing is actually rather impeccable.
We just took a strategy bathroom break, even though I did protest that we should have had gone to the space toilet, held on, save that urine to use in space. So
everything gets recycled in space.
Really? Mm-hmm. I wonder what the toilet situation would be like at Waterworld World. Having that Cosmos sip. Oh yeah.
It's connected to Sewer World.
So just to get
talk about it.
Give everyone the heads up. We're in Frontierland, and there's not even signs. There's just benches protecting us from getting into the Star Wars land. So we can't see anything. there's nothing Star Wars-y about it, except Disney employees guarding two paths, which I hope to go down one of them. I've just refreshed, and I can confirm it's still groups 3 through 12. All right, guys, it's 3:11. Updated groups 4 through to 12. We're group 13. I'm hitting refresh. Still nothing. I'll hit refresh again. Guys, still nothing. I don't want to build up the tension too much, but I will hit refresh one more time. Still nothing, guys. All right, guys, I've now completely collapsed, and I'm just on it. I just have to keep hitting. I'm just hitting refresh now. I've hit refresh 30 times in the last minute. There's been no update. Come on. I've turned into a refresh junkie.
Boom.
Bang. 13. Wow. Let's go.
Film nerd meal.
Dan, 13. Let's go. Come on. God, these amateurs that I'm with.
I know why we need you.
Going in.
Okay, we need a...
Hello.
Is this all the park tickets with the barcodes and the customer ID?
Yeah. And that's it.
Perfect.
It's upside down, but that's all right.
It's okay. I got it.
Yeah, there's four of us.
Thanks.
Hi, friends. Smart watches, Fitbits, any electronic devices inside.
You got it. Thank you.
This is it. The phone has to go along.
I learned this hard way the other way. Turn your phone off.
Yeah, I'm turning it off.
All right. We're going in.
Well, the battery
will be dead.
It's going to be open. All right, you guys. It's 9:30, and we're outside now.
We made it four times on this ride. Four times.
Yeah, we had four Falcon rides. I had Kadu ribs. What food do you eat, Jason?
I had the shack. I think that's how you say it. The shank. The shack.
What planet is that from?
Naboo.
Oh, okay.
I had a Tatooine sunset that had 1,000 grams of sugar in it. It was delicious.
Now, listen. My advice for you, if you're coming to Galaxy's Edge, on the Falcon ride, be the pilot.
Yes.
Do not be the engineer.
The gunner is okay, but still, pilot is the best.
Gunner's good.
And really the right pilot, because you get to go to hyperspace.
Yes.
Oh, going side to side was good, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll get out of here and we'll talk more in a sec. Chris and Neil are going to go. So, what's your conclusion?
It was fantastic, even better than I thought it would be.
Okay.
It was the thing that amazed me the most was the attention to detail and all the architecture and the little everything from like the lighting accents to the little animatronics. It's like a next level theme park.
It is.
I forgot I was in Disneyland. Everything is. It looks like a different theme park.
You do, especially. I guess the one benefit of not having your phone out was like you sort of got to
really.
It was more immersive.
They should
keep that rule.
Good luck.
Yeah, I think the immersiveness was like the really cool thing. I mean, it was you were able to stop and turn around and look and really see it, and it was just it felt like you were on Batuu. You were there. You were on a planet.
It brought me back to all my trips to Batuu. I gotta say.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was fantastic.
Plug for the podcast.
Comedy film nerds, comedians and filmmakers talking about films, all different types of films, and you can get it on iTunes.
Nice. There's always funny comedians, and I think I'm going to do it again soon.
Yes, and Steele Saunders will be on very, very soon.
Mm.
And we're going to be talking a little bit more about Black Spire Outpost.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're going to be talking about all the things that we learn the names of.
We are, indeed. And well, next time we'll have to get the blue milk. We didn't quite get there.
No. But thanks so much for bringing us.
My pleasure, absolutely. So glad. Thanks to Dan Mahan for inviting us. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was just, Chris was done. Like, he was like, we'd ridden it three times.
Yeah, three times.
And then we came off, and the Disney people are going, you want to go back on? It'll never be this empty. And it's like,
four minutes.
Yeah, and I was like, Chris. And
you guys make an excellent point. Come on, let's go. Yeah, yes. I'm very easily convinced.
Oh, that was awesome.
I wasn't going to be the one guy not going. I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah.
And Dan was just like, okay.
Yeah. I just found it morally wrong to say no.
You're right.
Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, here's a free ride in the Millennium Falcon.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, that was awesome. Thanks so much.
Cool. Take care, Steel.
Hey guys, the rest of this episode is available as an enhanced video on youtube.com/Steel Wars. So you can watch along with a bunch of pictorial guides. The direct link is in this podcast show notes. So if you want to watch along, click that right now.
All right, you guys, it's now 10 o'clock and we are out the front of the Disneyland Hotel, and I had a great scam to get a cheap drink, and that was to go to the hotel gift shop, their little 7-Eleven thing, and get one there. And they stung me for like $9 a beer. They saw me coming, Jason.
Yeah, it was like 16 something for two cans of Blue Moon. But it tastes great.
We got into Disneyland for free, so.
We did.
So there we go.
Yeah.
I'm making money.
Making Star Wars, making money.
Where do we start?
Always be plugging.
Where do we start?
Well.
All right, I'll start when I went in.
Yeah.
Like, I lost control. I ran off on my group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were pretty pumped, but I was, like, super pumped.
Yeah.
And I just, like, as soon as I got in, I was just, like, screamed and ran. It was rad.
Yeah. There was, like, a moment where, at the start, where we kind of, like, first went over to the Kylo Ren side, to the First Order side.
We should point out to everyone, we were not, we didn't see each other for, like, 4 hours.
Yeah.
Because we were in different...
But then everybody was gone, and we did, like, 4 hours of being together in 30 minutes.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that was what it was...
We did cram in a lot.
We did, like, the Falcon twice together, yeah. Anyways, I went over to the side, and I was, like, got my picture in front of the Kylo Ren ship and stuff like that and started looking at stuff. And then I was just almost, paralysis by analysis, where I was just sitting there looking at the same thing kind of over and over because you're just so used to that being it. Like, I was like, I could sit right here, and this is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like... We should move. We should go somewhere else.
We've got to stay on the move. The First Order's in the area.
Yeah. There was a little bit of that when I was there. I saw the black woman who's like the resistance hero. I saw her come over to like the First Order side and like start some shit. She looks like a female Finn. She like the resistance jacket and everything.
Ah.
I can't remember her name. She's gonna be in books and stuff though. She's gonna be like the main hero.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw her, like, come over there, like, twice. And, like, at one point, like, Kylo Ren comes over, and he, like, says he wants the whole area swept by stormtroopers. And he picked up the, he froze the Imperial Commander, like, a lady Imperial Commander. And, like, he, like, froze her with the Force and, like, kind of, like...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and then the hero's name, I can't remember, comes over. And then they didn't interact together, but stormtroopers started interacting and started filling the area, and she like ran away, like almost like a Jack Sparrow having to be on the run kind of thing.
Tell the story about the little kid.
Yeah, there was this like 2-year-old, maybe probably like 2.5, and he had a lightsaber that he bought at the store, and two stormtroopers come over to him and start kind of like trying to harass him, and the kid gets like ready to fight him, and they go, he knows of the old legends, and they took off running from him.
So good.
Yeah.
I don't, like, when you walk in, it does hit you that you're in Star Wars. Like, that was, like, it was like, oh my God, I am in Star Wars. Like, I felt like I was on, like, Jakku or something like that. Like,
yeah, it was, like, so different than, like, Star Tours where you go in and there's, like, a gimmick and then a gimmick and then a gimmick that continually entertains you.
Uh-huh.
There is, like, a spot where I was wondering myself, if you don't like Star Wars, is this the most boring place ever? Because if you do, it's rad. But if you just do not care about the Star Wars like aesthetic or design, or you're not in some way into role play, I wonder what it's going to be like for you.
Because there's just stuff everywhere. Like, just like broken, like just random, like broken down battle droids. Like,
yeah. There was like, when you go into one of the parts early on, and like, or like towards the entrance that we went through anyway, there's some battle droids and like this like junk heap, but the battle droid's head is cracked open and you could see like all of the gears and like servos inside its head and stuff. So I just thought it was like pretty rad.
I think I was over, like, because, and we should point out that because it was not, it's not finished. Like, it's not in show mode. It's not in like Disney mode. So there's like platforms for like the media night and like these like things that won't be there, like lights for the media night, and around the Falcon there was all things that were there for the media night. So it's not as like immersive as it will be on the 30th or the 31st whenever it opens.
And the app interactive stuff isn't, we couldn't have our phones, so we couldn't do any of the app interactive stuff, so we couldn't have our watches on. So it literally was timeless because you couldn't tell what time it was.
Yeah, we had a digital watch with us, so we occasionally, but it was like, we passed the time in line for the Falcon by talking about how we couldn't get our phones out.
What was your first Falcon line like long? Because mine was very long. Mine was almost an hour and a half, I'd say.
I beat the rush on you. Yeah. It was like 30, 40 minutes maybe.
Okay, yeah. Mine was probably like 90 minutes.
It wasn't like two in the one place at the one time where you get bogged down. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, because you get up to the next minute, you look through the windows and... So yeah, the whole, the land and the craftsmanship, I was very impressed by. The merchandise, like the in-universe merchandise and a lot of the other like merch, I was just like, oh my God. Like, you know, like Celebration, they'll have like one or two like really good ideas.
Yeah.
There's like 300 really good ideas.
Oh yeah, no,
like,
I mean.
Like you can get like a plastic toy, like a life-size version of the Kenner Yoda's cane.
Yeah, they had Palpatine's cane, they had Yoda's cane, they had that Yoda's little necklace.
But Yoda's cane, it was only like $30. It was
yeah,
like,
the Palpatine one was $150.
Was like a proper cane.
Yeah, it was nice.
I
wanted to hit somebody with it.
You could get like Jaipur snippets.
That was only like $20-something too. That was pretty good, yeah.
You could get like the Resistance ring that opens up.
Yeah, I didn't see that, actually. I wanted to see that. How much was that, you know?
I think it was like $50.
Okay.
But then there was like all these... There was this crazy good collect... Like
all the Jyn Erso-style toys. The wooden toys were just beautiful.
Yeah, I was... Like, the Stormtrooper one's good. The other ones were just like... teddy bears. Like, they weren't...
I liked the wooden sandcrawler,
that's why I got the wooden sandcrawler.
Yeah, the wooden sandcrawler. Like there anyway, was...
The collectibles are... They're insane. Like, you can get the Djeric figures. There's six of those. You can get in two packs. The droids that you can build, that $100 thing, is insane.
Yeah. That was... I wanted to get that for my son who couldn't go there today, and I started looking at it, and I was like, this is so involved. Like, you're able to pick, like the personality chips and, like, the songs that it'll sing and all that.
Well, as, like, that's what's going on about there. Like, I can't believe they've made this whole new type of toy to sell in two places on the planet.
Yeah.
And it's
But they're going to sell a lot of it.
It's so elaborate. And then you can get all...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All these different things to like... You can get, like, the jetpacks for R2, or you can get, like, the drink-serving thing. So it's, like, a droid. There's, like, you can get BB-8 or an R2, and they're about a foot tall.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're remote control, but you can buy customizable, like the blue panels on R2, you can get them in different colors.
Yep.
You can get all these weapon clip-ons. You can get different sound chips. So they've just made this crazy way for people to spend money. And so many people had those boxes.
Well, there was also things that like fans classically have made, like the Tuca dolls.
Yes,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. And like this, that's the kind of place where you can sell that, but where you really couldn't put a Tuca doll at Target and expect to like it not to just sit there.
Well, I always had the idea for the wooden old school style vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like a sand crawler made out of wood and it opens up and there's two little, these weird sort of nubby Jawas. So yeah. I was like, I have to get that. I so hope they continue it.
I think they will. I mean, well, obviously everyone who was there today was kind of the choir, so they were preaching to the choir is what I mean to say. But that stuff sold. Like, I bought this little music box that plays like the Imperial March.
Mm.
And when I first got there, the shelves were full of them. And at the end of the night, there was about six left on that shelf. They're probably like, you know, I'd say 3 inches by 3 inches or something like that. They're like pretty tiny.
Yeah, little music box. Nice.
Yeah, it's very nice, but they sold a ton of it.
And then all the plush creatures were awesome for the merch.
The monkey and the porg were the two, I think, highlights for me. They made a Kowakian lizard monkey, the yeah. Salacious B. Crumb style. They sold it in the Salacious B. Crumb colors, and then in like a kind of a tropical Hondo colors from the Clone Wars version.
Mm.
And he sits on your shoulder, and he has like two little pumps that go down. They go into your hand through your back, and when you hit him, like, he'll turn his head and like move around and looks like lifelike.
But the best bit in the creature shop, so there's all these little stalls, and when you're in the marketplace bit with the stalls, you just feel like you're in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, like that.
And
that,
with the vines over the top, like,
yeah,
what are the reeds or whatever the fuck?
It's so like a one-sided thing to say this, but I felt like I was looking at the Mando set, but everywhere. It was like, you know, that was like my impression because of looking at that set so often.
I kept expecting to see J.J. Abrams because it just looked like one of his sets. Like, yeah. The best thing in the creature, maybe my whole thing, my favorite thing, was in the where they're selling all the Tauntaun toys and Porgs and that, in the story of Batuu in the story of Star Wars, mm-hmm. in Star Wars canon,
yeah.
they had just found a loth cat in the forest, and they were trying to get him well,
uh-huh.
and so he's in this little nest,
oh, right.
and so it's an animatronic loth cat that's snoring, and he's got this little toy porg that he plays, and like this guy came up that runs the store and started telling me about how he found the loth cat in the forest,
really?
And just started telling me this story, and I was asking questions, and I was just like, and they, what's the saying? They say, may the moon rise with you, or...
They said, like, I wrote it down. It
okay.
Like, something about the suns.
No, at night they say...
Oh, at night they say the moons, yeah. Yeah, one guy said it wrong and then started...
Jason has got this, like...
Oh, Kylo's wearing the wrong costume. I just want to note that.
Okay, good. Kylo, Jason has got these notes that are just... The fact that he can realize what any of these words... They look like... They are the notes of a madman.
They, yeah, this is like, this could be pentagrams on all over my wall.
Pushed but, up. What's pushed up?
That's actually a push pop. Ah. Learned really fast.
Ah.
The blue milk, the green milk, it's melted push pop. And it costs $8. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't.
Don't do it. Don't fall for it. But, okay, wait, hold on. But go on while I look at this.
Yeah, so the loth cat is there, like, and... I didn't even realize it was a loth cat at start because it's like a real version of the animated thing from Rebels.
Yep.
And it's got crazy claws. I was so thrilled. Oh, what about that other thing that Dan showed us? There's a drinking fountain somewhere it's in the marketplace. And when you use the drinking fountain for long enough, there's like, you can see where the water comes down and there's two drinking fountains. One of them's normal. And the other one, when you use the drinking fountain for long enough, a Diagnoga comes up the water pipe and sticks his head up and opens his giant eye. Like, to me, those things are the best things about the whole land. Just the little goofy things that, like...
You want to know what broke my heart about the land?
Oh, what?
When I was in the, antique shop, Logray's headdress was in there, and that only means one thing, man.
He got a new headdress. Yay!
Yeah, no, I don't think it's with us anymore.
Oh.
I think they ate him.
That shop, the antiquity shop that's run by the Athorian.
That's my favorite part.
It's insane. Like, it's just too much stuff to see in there. And the giant Athorian it's just staggeringly good. Now,
yeah, he even stands up at one point. That's crazy.
We didn't get into the bar. It was too full.
We saw in there, though. Looked okay.
But...
Oh. Oh. Can I... My funny observation when I first walked in is that it looks like if everybody in a Star Wars movie, every extra was played by Josh Gad. Didn't it? Didn't it kind of look like that at times?
Now, the Falcon ride... Guys, if you were the gunner, it's a decent ride.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun ride.
Right, so there's three positions you can be in. There's six people fit in the cockpit, right? And you know, if you've got an odd number, like if you've got five people, or they try to get other people in, but it doesn't always work. So if you're the gunner, it's a decent ride, right?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. And if you're the engineer?
No, and if you're the pilot?
Oh, okay.
It's a very fun.
It's very intense.
It's very, like, because you get to actually steer and feel the Falcon move. And if
Was it Bright Suns?
Yeah, something like that.
Bright Suns, that's what they kept saying.
Yeah, Bright Suns.
Like, what?
So if you're a pilot, it's sick. If you're on the left-hand side, you get to go left to right. And if you're on the right-hand side, you get to go up and down, but you get to pull the hyperspace lever.
Yeah, and they called me side to side.
Yeah.
They called you up and down.
Whatever. But if you're the engineer, my personal thing is bitterly disappointing.
Well, I did one ride, like the one I did by myself, I ended up with one of the developers of the ride. And he was piloting, and he had been one of the test or a tester for 6 months. So like the flight was like pretty much flawless, and I was the engineer on that one. So I just almost sat there and just like watched it be pretty much perfect.
Yeah, because it's like an insane video game when you think of it, but then two people just like, oh, you get to just. I don't know, handle the brightness of the screen. Like,
yeah. You know, it was when you and I piloted together, it kind of tripped me out because like I could see like arrows where it was telling you where to go, but it was kind of throwing me because I'm like, I'm only doing side to side and it's like pointing like down left and like, or down right.
I would see a pylon and I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind running into that. I just wanted to run into stuff when I was piloting for the fourth, like when in the fourth ride.
Yeah.
And so we did so badly that when we came out, all these red lights were on in the Falcon.
And in the hallway, when we left the cockpit, there was like all this like destruction kind of going on with the, and yeah, red lights and like, oh, stuff's not going well.
Which is amazing that they, like, it's so interactive like that. Like, that's such a cool little trick. And also, when we took off Batu at daytime, it was daytime.
Yep.
And then when we did it at nighttime, the footage changed to nighttime.
At nighttime, yeah.
Which was pretty sick.
Which is actually, like, when you get down to it, like, a pretty, like, video games do it like all the time now, but to have a ride do it, like to have a ride to get into consideration for some reason is like revolutionary.
So I'm just perplexed at, like, I was engineer the first time and I got off just like going, I don't really, like the ride, I don't think it's that good.
Yeah. Yeah, it did, my first time I was a gunner, and but the two people I were with were the engineers, and one was like a small kid. And I think that worked out well, like on that front.
Gunner's good because when you hit the gun, you see a laser come out of the Falcon. It's like I'm having cause and effect. But when you're just like, these lights light up. So the thing is, right, so you're sitting like in the Falcon, and if you're the engineer, you're like one seat behind where there's actually seats in the Falcon. And you've got to do these lights on the side. So you're looking at the lights and you're not really looking out the front of the ride. Like,
well, even the first time I did the gunner stuff, which is totally easy once you know how it works. But the first time I did it, I was like, I'm looking at the buttons that I'm supposed to be hitting and not really understanding, like, not, how do I see the screen? But then after that, you realize if you could do automatic or manual. And automatic, you just have to hit any of the lasers in time at the right moment to shoot, to hit the target. But if you use manual, you have three buttons and it's kind of like low, medium, and high, like of the angles. Mm. And the left gunner will shoot blue lasers and the right gunner will shoot red lasers, so you can know which lasers are yours. And like, so once you kind of figure that out, you could actually get like a little bit more complex and pull off more more targets and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just, like, when I'm the pilot, I'm like, that's such a good ride.
Yeah.
But, like, when I did the, like, when I was the engineer, I was like, this is, I feel so let down.
As a game, it doesn't really offer very much.
But this is the thing I was thinking about. Like, you're here on a busy day, mm-hmm. and you do 2 hours in the line or an hour and a half in the line, yeah. and then you get allocated, engineer. It's like...
Yeah.
Ugh.
But I will say though, like in like most families, if you had a family that was like of six people, there's gonna be two of them that just aren't gamers, that isn't their thing. That's where they're gonna be okay. The problem is gonna be if the family doesn't like allocate the positions accordingly, I think.
Yeah, but if you're not in a family, like,
yeah,
I don't know, I just.
Oh, no, I'm with you. Yeah, it is definitely like the engineers.
If I waited 90 minutes with Jackie and mm-hmm. then we got with four other people and we got the engineer cards.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, you have a pretty much a 2 out of 3 chance of getting one of the good positions, though.
The, and we should say the walkway up into the Falcon is pretty good. I wouldn't say it's amazing.
I would say it's like pretty immersive and pretty rad. Like there's like Sabacc cards on tables and stuff like that. But there's like a droid in there and he just doesn't do anything.
But the other thing is we don't know what's going to happen when it's... Because what Dan said, there's going to be like tons of stormtroopers like up on those gantries and stuff.
Right.
And so there's like they haven't put the full... source in at the end,
right.
So we don't know if there's going to be people in there.
Most of the story wasn't implemented today. It was like all of the side stuff for the most part.
Well, they just wanted to make sure the restaurant worked and the ride mm-hmm. worked. And
I ate at the restaurant, the standard restaurant. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I had Ronto ribs.
Yeah, I had the shack, whatever, some kind of beef.
I can recommend the Ronto ribs, guys.
Yeah.
And then on...
Oh, I wanted to steal the fork, by the way. I didn't steal the fork, but I wanted to steal the fork.
Hey, we all have our desires.
It's like a sport from space.
And then in the queue, there's all these cargo things that have got barcodes or whatever, and then you can scan them on your app and that'll add to your points. Because it is like this weird, if you want it to be, a giant role-playing game. Because you get points on the Falcon and then that goes onto your app. And then when you go somewhere, like if you go to the bar and when you scan in there, then the bartender says, oh, Hondo's pretty upset about the way you messed up that job, or Chewbacca's happy with how you, you know, pulled it off. Like, so all that's pretty good.
Yeah. Once the app is in play, you're going to have like a different experience doing stuff all the time. Mm. That's what's going to make it like a repeat experience, like kind of worth doing.
But the life-size Falcon is... really good.
Oh yeah, no, it's incredible. It really is. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it is staggering to witness. Like all the shop bit is really good. Merch is good. The restaurants look good. The antiquity store is amazing. It was so like full on that I just wanted a quiet hour just to stare at the walls.
Yeah, it was weird. Like the antiquity store became probably my favorite thing there, or my favorite like place to be in the whole place. The like pet shop kind of thing was really good to buy stuff, and that that the Aloth Cat was rad, but I think there was supposed to be more stuff, like, from the film, like, of that Aloth Cat quality when they originally talked about it and did, like, the original stuff, like, where they, like revealed it. There were, like, it showed, like, porgs and cages and stuff, and it was a much different thing. It was still rad, but I that was the one thing I think that I expected to be different than what it was.
Yeah, but we did hear that over the next 6 months they are going to be adding, like, details and stuff like that. Just get it open, mate. Just get it open.
Oh, that guy is going to be the extra from all the Star Wars movies. Details, he's going to be there too.
Very satirical, very funny.
Was it a callback? It's a comedy. We call that a callback.
Thank you. Excellent. What other things did I see that was cool? Oh, in the antiquity shop, they had a baby Sarlacc.
They also had a baby Dianoga.
Dude, let me just talk about the baby. So they had a Sarlacc in a little tank.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a little baby one, and it was like opening its mouth, and then you could see all its, like, its little belly it was growing. It was like the fact that someone conceived that and then built it so amazing. Like, I'm just impressed. Baby Sarlacc. Cute.
I saw Hera's Kalakiri thing from Rebels in there.
Oh, you could buy them.
Could you actually buy one?
Yeah, that was merch.
Oh, there was actually like I don't know how it was the same thing, but there was one up top, on the like up on the top of the stuff that was rather big. But so yeah, so Hera's family's culture is for sale. You could have that. Like I said, Logray's headdress was in there. I saw Grievous's skull. Ezra's biker scout helmet was in there. I saw a bust of Yaddle. A golden Jar Jar was in there. Boosh, the helmet that Leia wears, was in there. What else did I see? There was just like so much weird, just like artifacts. And if you look there, like, oh, you know, that Star Wars character, Amon Amarth, I think. Is it Amon Amarth or Amon Amarth? I can't remember. But that dude from Jabba's Palace,
yeah,
with like the staff with the skulls. Well, that staff is in there, but it's not his from Return of the Jedi. It has different skulls, but it was like two tubes and a Duros. So it was like a Monoman's cousin, but it killed two tubes.
Oh, what about the Knights of Ren thing?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's been making kind of a stink over that that prop in Dryden Voss's a little art gallery or whatever.
It made a stink, though, just like...
Wow, not a stink.
Well, I was very excited about it, not because it was the same prop. I was just like, how did someone notice that?
Yeah. There was probably some prop builder, like sword guy, who was like, whoa. One of the things I saw in there, too, is on the right-hand side above, what's that? What's Homeboy's name? The Hammerhead dude? It's like...
Hammerhead?
The Hammerhead antique collector guy from Galaxy's Edge.
I don't know.
Right above him is a silver Mando helmet that looks just like the Mando from the new show. And I'm not sure if it's like slightly different or if it's like a slightly different variation of the helmet, but it looks like it might be the same helmet. But it was a silver Mando helmet, just like the one that is in the new show.
It's definitely missing the other ride.
Yeah. In terms of like, if we were a family from Australia flying over to the United States to go to there, it would be like, don't do it yet. I think. Wait.
Oh yeah. If you're making a special trip out here and you haven't booked yet, don't.
Yeah.
Like, wait for the other ride, because what I heard about it today was just like.
It was kind of surprising in a way. How small it is. Once, like, we were very, very, very fortunate where at the end of the day, like, there was almost nobody there, and it was just like us getting on the Falcon ride, kind of like as much as we could convince the friends we were with to do it again. And it was so easy, but we kind of like went through the whole thing, like, we kind of like walked from end to end in like a good 6 or 7 minutes probably.
Yeah.
It's actually like 15 acres is a big place, but when you have no people there, you realize how small and kind of and short you can do it.
Yeah, but a lot of that acreage is like, yeah, it's not, like ride.
It's ride. And then like there's this whole other like end of the thing that on the model that we saw back at D23 like last year or whatever, that was like this like forest, and it was supposed to have like enchanted stuff and like carvings on logs kids were going to decipher and stuff. It's just trees. It's nothing right now. And the guy, I heard one of the developers or whatever, Imagineers or whatever they want to call it, that their job is, and he's like, we just added this like at the last minute. So it was like clearly like they just had important shit to get to.
They sold out at Celebration, but our Chicago Sports Reference t-shirt and hoodies are back in stock at merchostore.com. And this time we've done a premium run on champion hoods and jerseys. And we haven't forgotten your legs, as this run includes champion basketball shorts and champion reverse weave sweatpants. The highest quality and so comfortable. Check it all out at merchostore.com. The I think the first time I went in, I'm going to go on about this engineer thing. I'm not happy about it, but after I went on it the first time, my favorite bit of the Falcon ride was just sitting in the lounge. Like, I liked the lounge room more than the ride.
Yeah.
Until I got to pilot, you guys.
Well, it was funny. There was this moment where I'm like, Steele, did you know if you go over in that corner, I think if you hit that buttons, it makes all the lights go off in the Falcon or something.
Oh my God, Jason's like desperately trying to push all these buttons to make the lights go off.
But then the next time we go, it happens like we saw it like twice.
Yeah, it's on a timer. And so that like all the lights go off in the Falcon, and then someone has to run over and turn it on. So it's this little interactive,
like thing. And then the cast members tell you that Hondo finds you every time that happens.
Oh.
He doesn't though. They just say that.
He might. The Hondo Anaka animatronic man is amazing.
The CGI Hondo is weird.
Like, is that CGI or a guy in a mask?
I thought it was CGI.
I thought it was a guy in a mask.
Yeah. Either way, it was like, because it was like on the screen.
Yeah. So there's like when you're walking in, sort of like if you've been to the Indiana Jones ride and what's that guy's name? Brody?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like going, Sala. He's like, welcome. Oh, yes. The amazing treasures. Like there's, so Hondo Anako is that dude in this. And so there's an animatronic one of him and he's like doing all his gestures. It's insane how good it is.
It's about 5,000 times better than the Indiana Jones from the Indiana Jones ride.
Yeah. But then when you're in the game or in the ride, he comes up on a screen talking to you and he's in the cockpit of his ship. And you reckon he looked like a dude in a mask to me.
He could have been. I felt like it was an intense mocap, but we'll have to ask. Because it had like that filter, because like you were seeing it through like a screen, like a Star Wars view screen thing.
Yeah.
That's what kind of like. But to me, it felt like how 3PO from Star Troopers 2 looked, where it was that really good mocap suit, and not like the. A lot of people don't know, but in the new Star Wars movie, 3PO, all CGI mostly. Homeboy only wore the hat sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of behind the scenes footage. Anthony Daniels wasn't in that full suit almost never. So, but that's where they are now. They don't have to do that.
So that photo with the umbrella, you call him BS?
No, I'm saying that's one of the days he had the fucking umbrella and the suit on.
What else is going on in there, Jason?
God, I mean, when I ate in that restaurant, I ate inside of one of those pods. That's the orange centers of the ATACTS from Rogue One, which I don't know. I kind of like got like a cool, unique moment in the sense that there was this time between when my friend left and I hadn't found you yet. And I was just like, I had dinner by myself in that place, which was like a strange just kind of experience. And I got to like eavesdrop on developers talking about what they were doing and had done and stuff. And like their family wanting to steal the sporks too. And them telling them, don't steal the sporks. I'm not even kidding. That really happened. And yeah, it was just really, it was kind of, in a way, I get kind of embarrassed by role play. Like, it kind of like, it's a weird line where I don't know where I like it and where I don't like it. I can't even tell you why I like it sometimes and then I don't at other times. Maybe it's just all me. But it was kind of rad because there was a time like when I was like walking down the street and the stormtroopers were like just walking around like before I saw the little boy. The way that the cast members acted about the stormtroopers was actually like not bad. Like it was actually like kind of like it was like that jerk in the neighborhood, and the way that like that they performed was good, and it was a lot better than I thought it would be, considering that these are employees of Disneyland, of a theme park, and not necessarily like actors.
The interactions I with the stormtroopers, I had a very good time, them hassling me. And yeah, with the guy telling me about the Lothcaddy court, I give a big thumbs up to the role playing.
Yeah, that was. I didn't get that. I didn't get the Lothcat story. So that's kind of cool. Like the you know you heard it because now I know it.
And just, I think maybe the. The coolest thing is just wherever you look, in every nook and cranny, there's some weird, like an astromech getting used as a lantern. Like there was like a biker scout helmet getting used as some sort of like coffee.
I thought it was
like a distillery. Like you know, if people are old and remember MASH and how they had that still in their tent where they'd make liquor, like it was like they had that in the mechanics thing of the Falcon ride when you're going in the line. And they had like a biker scout helmet that was making some type of beverage that they'd repurposed.
I didn't want to be super like critical in the park where people were having fun and like where like people who made it were there, you know what I mean, like insult them like right then. But I do have to say
you're really growing up, Jason,
right? Saving it to do it in front of everyone later on. The building droid stuff was cool. I like the inside of it, like where you get to that K2SO parts, like not the K2SO guy, but like the Imperial droid version. Like his head was there.
On the wall. Yeah.
I liked like all of that stuff. But then I also felt like that part was probably like the bigger letdown to me. When I was in there, I was like not really interested. It was like the build a droid thing in Star Tours area, or the build a lightsaber area. Like it was very much for kids, which is great, fine. But that was the one place where I was just like, this isn't for me. Like I was in there and I saw the droids. I was like, cool. There's an R2-D2. I've seen that everywhere. I was like, I'm good. Like I'm a bit spoiled on the sense that I see R2-D2s all the time and things and stuff. But that was the one place I thought was going to actually like look cooler. That was the one place inside that looked like Star Tours to me, but not like Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, that, and because there was all the merch, there was all T-shirts and that hanging up. And yeah. What about? I didn't get to go because I can't. Apparently, so there's that lightsaber shop, but you can only go in there if you pre-buy a lightsaber. I don't know how long that's going to last for, but because when you buy the lightsaber, it's a show.
Right.
So, like...
It's expensive, right? It's like $150 or something?
Yeah. But they, like, go through and help you build it, and it's, like, you know, the guy's, like...
Right.
You know, like, this is the Jedi art, and, like, so it's, like, a real...
It's an experience.
Yeah. Apparently, it's really good, but...
It's like medieval times meets Star Wars.
Yes. All right, so what merch did you get? Is there anything else we're going to talk... I feel like... What's Kylo Ren's ship? I don't even understand how that works, like, physically.
What do you mean?
Like, where do people stand in it? Like, you know, the gangway.
Yeah.
And then there's like no.
Yeah, that it didn't really seem like it was to scale. Maybe.
It was like a mini rig of his ship.
Yeah. It was. It looked a little bit like. It felt like you were supposed to be like further away than it ended up being. Maybe. You know what I'm saying? It was supposed to be like 30 feet. Further back, and then the scale would have had a forced perspective that would have been fine, but it was really rather close. But when we get the pictures back, we'll know if it works or not.
Yeah. And it just, like, on Kylo Ren's ship, like, even on the lasers, there's, like, carbon scoring around where they've shot it before, and, oh, my God, there was a giant rip in the Falcon at the back where something could hit it. That was just sick.
Well, in line for the Falcon, there was just, like, one, like, pockmark where, like, a laser blast had hit randomly, but it was kind of cool because the wall had turned into, like, almost, like, a dark magma on it. That kind of stuff was neat.
in the Falcon, porgs nests everywhere.
Yeah, but no porgs. But we did see a lady with the porgs.
There was a cast member that fully suckered me in. She had a net, and she's going, "Have you seen any porgs? I'm trying to catch them." And I was like, "I'm like, really? I got taken away with the magic." But her job is just to walk around with a net all day,
yeah,
pretending she's looking for porgs. She's bound to going crazy.
It did. I'm curious to see what it ends up being like when it's in full swing. I did feel like the First Order side was completely like developed, and the Resistance side was really nothing there other than like you could buy an R2-D2 in like a little forest.
Yeah, well, because the Rise of the Resistance ride, where we went, and so you can go out and get photos with an A-wing, and we paid homage to the great lady
coming out of that cave. It was like a mean Wookiee. And then I did see Chewbacca when I was over there at one time. Though I walked over there and there was a giant, like a big dude dressed as Chewbacca.
I saw Chewbacca. I saw Rey. She was kicking around.
Yeah, I saw that Rey, and I thought it was just a person. I didn't even realize that was the character.
Ah.
Because she was like wearing her Force Awakens, and so was Kylo. They're both in like their Force Awakens clothes. See, I'm all on canon, baby.
Rey wasn't wearing her Force Awakens clothes.
Yeah, she was. That was like TFA Rey.
No, it was like Last Jedi Rey, I was sure.
Really? I thought that was Force. I
she had the three knots at the back.
I thought if she was wearing that gray Jakku. Or, I mean, gray, a tan Jakku outfit. Not the gray.
She definitely was. I didn't think she was in the Jakku outfit.
You know what? She was in the same. She was in the photo op costume, and so was Kylo. In the end, I'm pretty sure. We'll have to see if like when it opens up next week, what they're wearing.
We'll see. Well, they're gonna. Yeah. That doesn't mean. Yeah, I think they'll make changes and stuff as they go. But So pretty good. They need the other ride.
Yeah, for sure. The other ride not being there, it made it. I mean, I had a really good time. It was like a really good day. And if you were to go there and do that and do Disneyland, you would like totally get your money's worth. But if you were only going to only do that and didn't care about anything about Disneyland and weren't interested in it, it would probably leave you a little bit like lackluster and feeling that vibe in the end, I think.
Yeah, and also, like, the intangible thing of it being fixed and open and everyone, like you don't know what that's going to be like sort of thing. Like, I went to a Disneyland party in Tomorrowland and they didn't have the music on and it was just so...
Yeah.
It just felt like I was at a really good party, not at Disneyland sort of thing. But, yeah, like, the whole craftsmanship of the land is amazing. Just don't be the engineer, guys.
Yeah, but if you have a really good pilot and you want to just see the ride, I had a good engineer experience. I really, truly did. But my other time being engineer was lame. So I could definitely see somebody going there, though, and just having a bad experience from just losing the role of what would be the best thing to do on every, like, opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, just having, like, not having enthusiastic cast members, or not being the person who they talk to, and getting the engineer on with really bad pilots, but I will say too on in terms of as a game, the engineers have the important task of hitting the button to pick up the coaxium, and if they don't do it, even if everybody's good, they don't pick it up, you won't get both of them. So like it is like there are crucial moments when you're the engineer that actually do matter and you actually doing.
Yeah, but that's for the team. The actual experience of the engineer. Is staring at a
I'm not trying to say it's like a more involved or a good like position. It's the right field of if it's like a baseball. It's the right field of Star Wars.
The I don't get that reference.
In baseball you play right field but you suck like I did. And it's really boring and you just sit out there looking at the sun waiting until it's over.
Yeah. But so obviously, a monumental achievement. I can't wait to see it in full swing once summer's over and I might return, or I will return once summer's over.
Yeah, in a way we kind of, I mean, obviously we were super spoiled and we had a, got to do everything really rad today, but when Rise of the Resistance opens up, we don't have to worry about the other hassle of the other stuff of making all of that happen either, so double lucky.
So, yeah, Galaxy's Edge, it's done, and it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, me too.
Because we had to wait so long to get in, which is fine, because they had to like set it up and that. But I think I went on like 6 rides at Disneyland before we went in.
Yeah, you were like so happy in pictures on other rides, and you're all, I'm about to get on the Matterhorn, and I laughed. And you're all, what? Why are you laughing at me? And I'm like, 'cause you're just having such a good fucking time, man.
Yeah, well, I've been to Disneyland like less than, no more than 15 times.
Yeah. No, but I'm like the kind of person who's always early to things. So even though like I was like number 15 or whatever that day and they were calling like number 6, I still had to be out there just like in case they call 5 in a row. So just me.
But yeah, super fun. Super fun. Thanks to Dan for getting me in. Thanks to Comedy Film Nerds for also helping with the hookup. It's, if you are in California, if you're in, you know, Southern California, go now. Check it out. If you're traveling, definitely wait for the other one.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, like, wait until both rides are open. You'll have it'll make it a better time in general. Yeah, for sure.
All right, Jason. I don't know how we're star-crossed lovers.
We're destined to be together. Yeah, I told you I'd find you. I tried to sell you to Uncar. I went and had dinner without you. Thought I'd never gonna see that guy. But then I heard. Jason!
All right, you guys. If you enjoyed the pod, share it around, write a sweet review, do all that good stuff, and may that force be with you. Oh, wait, what's the thing?
I don't know, Happy Suns. What was it?
Rising Suns?
Two Suns?
Rising Suns?
Rising Suns. Was it Rising Sun? That's like, it was like, I don't know. I can't remember what it was now.
Make sure you check out our one-on-one interviews with the cast and crew of The Rise of Skywalker. Also on YouTube in full is our late-night comedy Star Wars chat show recorded live in Chicago, chock full with Star Wars insight and laughs. And if you're into audio podcasts, check out our blog pods from Star Wars Celebration that give you a fan's eye view of everything that went down in Chicago. And may that force be with you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.